Thank you, guys. Thanks to the worship team. Thanks, Sam and the guys. Thanks, bro. Welcome again. I'm Bradley, for those of you that know me. For the first time visitors, it's so good to have you with us. If you would like to know more about the church and who we are, there's a volunteer, first-time welcome pack outside. There's a chocolate in, so if you want one, please go and get yourself one. But it's so good to be with you this morning and to, just to share. Oh, yeah, there's two mirrors. If you want, if there's any first-time visitors who would like to know more about the church, if you're not planted in a church yet. Sorry, guys, just give me a moment to sort out this, my life quickly. This morning is such a special morning for us as Shofar Boston family. Do you know why? This morning I have the privilege of ordaining two men who really walk closely with the Lord and have really sown character. So, Don, if you can start, we're going to start with ordination. And this morning, I have the privilege of having Helmut and Estelle with us. Helmut is one of the guys, when I gave my life to the Lord, he was there with Ross. And then I prayed the sinner's prayer. And yeah, that was in 2013, and the rest is history. And so I've been in Shofar forever. Helmut's been an elder since as long as I can remember. And an elder speaks about character. It speaks about a man that's been set apart for the Lord. Thank you. Go fetch me one as well, please. Thanks, man. thanks, Ev. Elder speaks about character. It speaks about a man that has a family and that looks well after his family. Someone the congregation looks up to. And someone so I'm just going to go into Titus. Titus 1 that says, where Paul's writing to Titus, and he says, "This is why I left you in Crete, that you may remain, in order that you appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, a husband to one wife, and his children are believers, and do not." And is not open to the charge of debauchery and or insubordination. Sorry, I can't see like on this tablet. For an overseer of God's steward must be above reproach and must not be arrogant, quick tempered, a drunkard, violent, greedy or greedy for gain, but must be a hospitable, for falling over my words here. Too many people in this church today, I'm joking. A lover of good, a self-control, upright and holy, disciplined. He holds firm to trustworthy as taught, as that he may give instruction and sound doctrine and also rebukes what contradicts. So what's Paul writing to Titus, he's saying to them, an elder is the guy, back in the day, the elders used to sit at the town gate. So the elders used to make sure that everything that comes into the town, that they were aware of. They were the protectors of the town. And that being said, elders were set apart for God and used by God. And they were the ones who governed mostly the city and everything. They advised the kings back then on what is that the Lord is saying. And how we should do this. The elders in today is the same as the early church. As Shofar Boston, our structure is that we are elder-led church. And I am a pastor, but I'm also part of the eldership. And as a pastor who leads the congregation, I'm also operate as an elder. How does that work? An elder is someone who governs. takes responsibility, gives sound doctrine, sound direction, and gives and is able to give a nice rebuke in where it's needed. That's the not so like a part of being an elder. But the elder is someone that the congregation looks up to. An elder is someone that is teachable around and also teach the congregation in sound doctrine. And this morning I'm going to have the privilege. So if you go to the next slide, the goal of an elder within Shofar Boston is to unify the congregation in its purpose, to oversee the church, its ministries, and its functions, to act as stewards and guardians of the congregation, and keeping, caring, and cultivating, to mentor believers to maturity and leadership. And ultimately, we know that we are here for our communities around us and the church family, and we seek the peace between our family and the city around us. So the elders is those, that's the characteristics for Shofar Boston. Elders, taken into scripture. The requirements of an elder, if you go to the next one. The requirements of an elder is a mature Christian, character with good reputation. Scripture reference there that we use is Timothy. The competence, able to lead, to teach, to reconcile, to discern, to give wise counsel. Calling, to serve with conviction as one called by the Lord to this office. Capacity, must have time and resources to serve in the office of an elder. Chemistry, a working relationship within the eldership, a group is needed to ensure there's unity. And that's very important for us as a team, is DCs, is character, competence, calling, capacity, and chemistry. That is what we look at so far when we call pastors as well. Pastors and elders are similar. There's only one slightly difference in the Shofar Constitution. When you're called as a pastor, you're called to the office for lifetime. And as you're called for an elder, you're called for 2 years. That's the only difference between a pastor. Because remember, in the early church, there was the elders led the church. The elders of each town led the church. The apostles, they were the ones who planted and then raised up elders. So it brings me much privilege this morning in history of Shofar Boston to present two candidates before you this morning. I've written a letter. I have no objections. So I'm assuming I can continue with this. No one has seen anything that I haven't seen. The next slide, please, Adon. Thanks for helping me. As you know, in 2023, end of 2023 in Fredalis, we called Samuel and Tio, elders in training, where we prayed and appointed them in the office. Not yet in the office, they're going to be appointed in the office now, but in training where they will see if this is, we as a leadership has prayed and we've set them apart for that and we've identified it, but it's also up to them to show themselves, to prove to themselves that this is what they're wanting to do. And also for the congregation to see that these are people, these are men that I'll be willing to submit to. They have sat in governance meetings. They have had difficult conversations this past year where they had to discern and give sound doctrine and sound advice. And they have really proven themselves in that. So this morning, these two candidates can come up with helmet. Theo and Samuel. And Helmut is just going to share a bit on his heart, what's on his heart for this too.
Good morning. So I think one of the things just before we get to the eldership, as I was praying for you as a church, the Lord just showed me this picture of a tree. I love nature and I love being in nature. And God often speaks to me through nature. And I just saw it was like a peach tree. It was a peach tree. And I just saw that it was, the tree had gone through some really tough times. The wind had got into it. The wind had got into some of the flowers. And I know you, like a tree only gives flowers once a year, like a fruit tree. And in our region, the Western Cape, one of the biggest challenges the farmers has is that if the wind comes and blows all the flowers away, you don't have fruit for that season. And I just felt that there was, like the Lord just saying that all of, you know, the church, there's all this going on for a while. But then he just showed me this beautiful peach tree with this full of fruit. And I just want to, I'll just speak that over the church of God. This is a fruitful church. You're going to bear much fruit. You're going to bear much fruit as a fruit as a church. And there may have been tough times, but I just see this beautiful tree that's going to bear fruit in God's kingdom. And then, maybe just for the two new elders being appointed, you read through all those requirements, and my leg trembles every time I read through that, and I've been reading through that for a couple of decades. So it's not about, you know, what you bring. It's about what you bring to you, but it's 99.9%. It's just surrendering to God. Amen. And just trusting Him to lead you. Because He's the one that leads us. We don't have the knowledge, but the Holy Spirit has got the knowledge. And He will lead you. And the beautiful thing about walking with God is you don't see 10 years ahead. It's only for today and tomorrow, and the day after. Sometimes God's, you know, puts something in our heart and we've got a vision, but we don't know how to execute that vision. It's like step by step, doing one thing, being obedient to one thing, and being obedient to the next thing God shows you. So for you as elders, just be obedient, be humble, be obedient, and know that that you're going to make mistakes also. I think afford yourself the opportunity, and because we are all human, all of us are here, we've made mistakes. So as a congregation, be graceful, be kind to them. They are going to make mistakes. They're going to make a decision in 3 months from now, and it's going to be the wrong decision. You have to pray also as congregation that they don't make the mistakes. But you have to allow them and be gracious to them that when there's a mistake and a decision made or whatever, to be kind, to forgive. And your responsibility is to pray as a church. I don't know if you know this, but God, in the Word, Paul writes, there's a few places in the Word, we have to pray for our leaders. You, each of you sitting here that's part of this congregation, we've got a responsibility to pray, not only for them, for Bradley and his family. It's your responsibility before God. Because that's the way that God's kingdom work. No one man can do anything. No one woman can do anything. It's a team effort. It's a family. So yeah, can I just pray before we, just over the congregation before
yes,
we, yeah. So Father, we just thank you for Shofar Durban, Shofar Boston, Lord. Sorry, I'm from Durban, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for this beautiful tree, this beautiful church that you created, Lord God. And Lord, we just want to recognize, God, that it's your work, Lord. Lord, if you don't build the house, there is no house being built, Lord God. So we just want to recognize your hand, Father. We're going to recognize your favor. You want to recognize your grace, Lord God. And Lord, just thank you, Lord, for this church, Lord, for its fruitfulness, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you've created it, Lord God. You've built this church, Lord God, to bear much fruit, Lord God. And Lord, we just want to bless the church, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord God. We pray, Lord, and yeah, we bless this Boston, Lord God, with faith, Lord God. This congregation, Lord God, everyone, we pray, Lord, that you'll just give them a measure of faith above, Lord God, what they have now, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord God, that they will be able to step into faith, Lord God, and believe you for the things you tell them, Lord, that looks impossible, that seems impossible, to seem too far to reach, Lord God. But thank you, God, that you are the God of the impossible, Lord. Lord God, we are not serving the God of the possible, God. We are serving the God of the impossible, Lord. And yeah, Lord, we just want to come, Lord, and bless this church, Lord God, with your grace, Lord, and your favor, Lord. And wherever they go, Lord God, maybe they bless, Lord God, every member, Lord God. And for Bradley and Caroline, Lord, as the pastor couple, Lord God, we just bless them in Jesus' name, Lord God. Lord, Lord, we pray that their eyes will be open and their ears be open, Lord God, to hear and to see what you're doing always, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for expanding the church, Lord God, and leadership and governance, Lord God. And Lord, we just pray for your anointing to rest on them, Lord God. Lord, may they be in step with your spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Helmut. Cool. Gentlemen, you have some questions to answer. Do you believe that God has called? Do you believe that you are called of God to the eldership of this church. Will you serve? It's a good thing, yeah. Will you serve Christ in this church with love and consideration? Will you seek to extend the kingdom of God and to make it grow from the city? Okay, congregation. As Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:12, he says, I encourage the congregation to recognize those who labor among you are over you in the Lord and admonish you. I'm getting there. And to esteem them very highly in love for their words, for their work's sake. Be peace among yourselves. Do you, members of this church, acknowledge and receive these elders, promising them due honor and support in the Lord? If you answer yes, please will you signify this by standing. Shofar Boston congregation, or anyone can stand. Well done, guys. No one objected. Estelle, so you're referring to come work summit on Snapchat for the Owens. Ilana and was my vrouw. Lovey. So I'm just getting oil. I say. Will you all just stretch out our hands as we pray and anoint these two gentlemen?
Father, we thank you, Lord, for separating these two men, Lord God, for your work, Lord God, for your service, Father. And Lord, we just bring them to you, Lord, this morning, Lord. And Lord, we pray your protection over them, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, you protect their minds, Lord God. In Jesus' name, Lord God, we pray, Lord, that, yeah, Lord, that you will step, or they, Lord God, will step out in faith, Lord God. And even, Lord, when they feel at times, oh God, they're not competent, Lord God, or don't have the experience, Father, Lord, that they will step out and know, Lord God, that you're with them, Lord. And as an eldership, Lord God, they are able to make the right decisions, Lord God. They have the authority, Lord God, you've mandated them, Lord God. And, yeah, Lord, I just pray, Lord God, that you'll unify them, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the time they've already spent together, Lord. And I just pray, Lord God, that as a brother, as brothers, Lord God, that they will walk, Lord God, in unity, Lord. And that you say, Lord God, in your word, Lord God, that's where you command the blessing, God, where there's unity, Lord God. And as the slide said, Lord God, not uniformity, Lord God, not just mild agreement, Lord God, but unity, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord God. And Lord, we just pray, Lord God, that you will, Lord God, just bring out the gifts, Lord God, that each one of them have, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord God. Lord, we just want to release them, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord God. May they operate in the gifts, Lord God, that you've called them, Lord God, that you've given to them, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord God. Yeah, Lord God, and we thank you, Lord, that you love them. We thank you that you love this congregation, Lord God. And Lord, that you've appointed for them at the time of this. This is the time, Lord God. This is the season, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for this new season for the church also, Lord, that it brings in, Lord God, new people, Lord God, that's supporting Bradley, Lord. And yeah, we pray, Lord God, for vision, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord God, may they see the vision that you have, Lord God. May they see it clearly, Lord, and may they not just see it, Lord God, but you say in the word, Lord God, when you see it, write down the vision and run with it, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for strength, Lord, that they will not grow weary, Lord. Lord, and that, yeah, Lord, you'll give them wisdom, Lord God, for every situation, God. In Jesus' name, Lord God, Lord, may they truly see your hand, Lord God, move, Lord God, and be able to partner with you as you move, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord God. Lord, we just pray, Lord God, your absolute blessing on them, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord God. May they prosper in everything that they do, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord, I just thank you that as they build your house, Lord, you say that you will build their house, Lord God. That you are faithful, Lord, that you are no man's debtor, that you will build their house, Lord, as they commit to build your house. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father, for these men who have really shown that they are rooted in you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for this year that they've walked together, that they've journeyed with us as a church, as a leadership, and that they've come through things and they've shown that they stand on the solid rock that is their foundation. They haven't been shaken, Lord, because they are firmly planted on you, Lord. Thank you for the character that you've worked in their lives, Lord, that is evident to us. Thank you for the faith that you've stirred in their hearts, Lord, for this church congregation and for your kingdom to come beyond the borders of even Boston. Father, we pray blessing over them where you continue to stir their faith, Lord. That scripture says that young men will run and not grow faint, Lord. They're starting as elders when they're not so much older. But Lord, thank you that they will continue to walk in this calling and not grow weary, Lord. It's not that they're starting at a young age and they're going to run out of steam, Lord. Thank you that they will look back and say they've been walking in your calling for decades and they've seen your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you that you will sustain them, Lord. You will be sufficient for them. For them and for their households, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your calling on their lives. Pray that they will taste and see that you are good.
Father, thank you that we can accept these two as gifts, Lord, from you this day for this church. We will submit under their leadership, under their authority, God. We will listen to their voice as they listen to you. Thank you for the talents that they bring to this church, God. Thank you, though, that you use them for you. May you be glorified through their lives, Lord. As they seek you in the inner room, Lord, may you be glorified. And we thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ja. Wachlik. Wachlik, Jim. So trots op jou, man. Proud of you, man.
Thank you.
Ja. You guys get some stand here. Oh. Yeah, something. Thank you, Almut and Estelle, for coming. I really appreciate it for supporting me and Carolyn in this. It's such a big moment for us as a church family. We're not over yet. We still have one more thing. If you read my letter, you will read that I also wrote that we would appointing another elder in training. So Cheslin van Rooyen, please come to the front. Let me define the term elder in training, because there's been lots of confusions over these years. Elder in training for us as Boston is simply that we see you and we would love to know you. So like the how can you put it, the dating part. Joking, it's not that, but yeah, I'll pay for the date. So Cheslin has proven himself and we've really spent lots of time this year together, and we're going to spend some more time this year. Cheslin will become part of the team. We will invite him into our governance meetings. He will be able to have a vote, casting. So, and we see that you, first of all, you are a husband to one wife. You've shown character over these years since I've known you. You look after your children. Your wife flourishes under you. And all the characteristics that we've read, we just call it out in you. We say, Cheslin, we see the calling of God on your life as a team, and we've been praying, and we've been really feeling that God wanting to pull you into this, and we're looking forward to the year Cheslin's commitment to to serving as an elder in training is a year. And the same process will happen as I walked with Sam and Theo. So that's openly. Yeah. Okay, so we're not going to go through the whole list for Cheslin because he's not being ordained yet. But we're just going to pray and anoint him. And anoint him, set him apart for what the Lord has called him to do. Nandi, if you can come and support your husband as well in front. Yeah. The baby's not coming. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Father, we we just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you for Cheslin. Thank you for Nandi. Thank you, Father, that we have seen in Cheslin's life that the first call he has responded to is that to be a disciple of Christ first. Thank you that we can see he is a follower of Christ at heart beyond and above everything else. Thank you, Lord, that the only way he can be an elder and even an elder in training is first because he's a disciple of Christ. And God, we just want to come and commit this next year, that you'll be joining the leadership team of this church into your hand. And God, I just want to pray that by your Spirit, you will impart into him wisdom and understanding, that, Lord, you will give him to see with the eyes of his heart and not with the physical circumstances, that, Lord, whatever you have invested in him, Almighty God, will serve to the building of the purposes and your kingdom within the Shofar Boston congregation. Thank you, mighty God, that you crown him with glory. Thank you, mighty God, that you assign to him the people that you want him to disciple and grow with. Thank you, mighty God, that what he brings to the table, Father, even when the rest of us are not in agreement, if it's in agreement with your heart, then, Lord, that he will be bold enough to speak the truth so that we may follow. Lord, I pray, Father God, that just like you've been walking with him, moving forward even more, Father, that his heart and his mind will come into full alignment with your will, so that his leadership doesn't come from a place of the flesh, but truly from the place of his worship to Yahweh. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord God. I'm just so reminded, Lord Jesus, that you came, your Lord, not to be served, Lord God, but to serve. And your Lord, I just know that, you know, as Cheslin is the head of his household, Lord God, and even now, Lord God, stepping into leadership in the church, Lord God, that you really have placed it on his heart, Lord God, to, you know, to serve, Lord God, and not to be served, Lord God. And your Lord, thank you that we, you know, can just come and anoint him, Lord God, as an elder in training, Lord God, and, you know, and just, you know, Lord, bless him as the head of his household, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that firstly, Lord God, you have called him to serve his household, Lord God, and that, you know, he can boldly and confidently do that, Lord God. And thank you that he's been such a good steward of that, Lord God. Thank you that, you know, really I want to agree with Bradley that his household flourishes under him, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that he loves everyone in his household, Lord God, and that he sets such a good example, Lord God, of a husband and a father, Lord God, and that he leads so courageously, Lord God. Lord, thank you that Cheslin is someone whom we can follow, Lord God, as he boldly, Lord God, proclaims you, Lord God, and proclaims you in his household, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that they have such an open house, Lord God, that everyone can feel welcome in their household, Lord God. And I really pray, Lord God, that you will just extend, Lord God, their tent, Lord God, that so many more, Lord God, will be able to receive, Lord God, even that grace that you have given them, Lord God. Lord, and, you know, as he puts up his hand, Lord God, to serve in the church, Lord God, in a more official capacity, Lord God, I really pray, Lord God, that you will grant him the grace to do so, Lord God. That even in his heart, Lord God, you know, you will continue, Lord, to just stir, Lord God, that servant heart, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray.
Father, we thank you. Father, thank you that this couple, Lord, has already shown, Lord, that they have a heart to serve your body, Lord, and to serve in your community, God. Thank you for their house that's always open, God. Thank you for their house that brings so much healing to others around them, Lord. And thank you for their house that's such a safe space, not only to them, but to everyone around. Thank you for Cheslin, Lord. Yeah, and thank you for this time that you've called him, God. We see and we recognize, God. And we say, Lord, thank you for this vessel, Lord. Thank you for this gift that you've added to our leadership of this church. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Thank you, guys. Thanks for the grace that you have with us this morning. I'm not going to preach long. They say usually when the pastor says that, you must worry. But one last thing quickly. Okay, my wife, over to you quickly. Adon, can you flight that one slide on my... Yeah, that one. We would just like to thank a few people. No, we can do it quickly. Sam can help you. First job as an elder.
So when deciding who to say thank you to, this is our celebration service. I mean, in a church the size of ours, there's no one that sits still. So if you are here and you are part of the family, you have served, and we're going to say thank you to you. So we just have something very small. It's not the size of the gift, but we just want to acknowledge each one of you. I always say, if you visit someone's house, and how do you know who the children in the house are compared to the friends? The children are the ones that have chores. And thank you for each of you that have become like children in the house. You've served, you've made coffee, you have, it's something that so many people have said when they come to visit, like three people offered me coffee, or you know. So thank you for the heart of us as a congregation just to come and to serve, and not to be here for ourselves, but to be here for each other. And that serving goes beyond these walls. It happens throughout the week as we take each other meals, or we look after each other's kids, or whatever it is. So thank you. It's been a blessing this year to serve alongside all of you. And we have something very small for each of you. Yes, thanks. Sam's
gonna help. Can the Boston congregation quickly just all stand? If I identify with the Boston congregation, here we go. Thank you. Thanks, Sam. See you, Ilana. Thanks, Cheslin. Yeah, separately. Keisha. I saw Keisha this stuff. Mr. T is not here.
Bradwood, where's Bradwood?
Marius. Tanil. Yanda. There's a personal card written to each of you. Paul and Joel. Thank you, guys. Okay, I think it's everyone. Oh, the baby didn't get Ketani and. Okay. Run. Well done, guys. Thank you, guys. Thank you from myself and Carolyn. Thank you for serving. Lizanne, there's one. There's a personal note. There, what's that? Cheslin. Do you have Lizanne's one? There we go. Thank you, Cheslin. Okay, thank you. Yeah, steak coming off to it. Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, who makes us one with you, makes us one with each other, gives us community. Thank you to these amazing volunteer, servant-hearted people, God, who really gives of themselves every Sunday, God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that your word says in Hebrews 6, Lord, that you will not, you're not unjust, that you won't give it, reward them for what they've done. So thank you, Jesus. Amen. Cool. Okay. Next slide. Sermon time. Okay. So this morning I'm excited to share with you, as I'm always excited to share, the Word of God. I can't say that. Tell the coming generation. So we've been speaking and I've been meditating on what the Lord is saying to us, and throughout the Shofar movement at Pastor Summit, Pastor Henry shared on this specific topic. And it was just so profound, like, why is it important that we need to tell the coming generation? So when we look at the psalm, and so we're going to use Psalm 78 this morning. The background behind it is it's written by David's worship leader. He was one of the worship leaders in the church. And he's writing this psalm to the next generation and explaining to them, guys, our forefathers has fallen into the trap of rebellion so many times. There is so many stuff that we shouldn't do. And he's encouraging them that our children must have their hope within God. And their trust must be in the Lord. And he's reminding them that when their forefathers came throughout out of Egypt, they first went through the desert. And during the time in the desert, what happened was they rebelled against God so many times. And we know during when they went into the promised land, they also rebelled against God. And he's like writing this as an encouragement to say, hey guys, let us not fall into this trap. Let us listen to and hear from and listen and learn from the mistakes that our fathers have made. But it's also encouraging them that the God that their forefathers served is the God and the only one, the real God. And he's reminding them to say, hey guys, when we serve this God, he will deliver us and he will bring everything that we're struggling with, and he will help us through everything. And he speaks about our God being the protector, God being the provider. We know that most of the Psalms speaks about God as the protector, God protecting Israel during that time, protecting King David when he was running from Saul. And this one specifically focus is written to the people group in that time, the generation. And he says, give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings from old. Things have heard and known that our fathers have told. We will not hide from them, from their children. We will not hide them from their children, but tell them to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might, and the wonders that he has done. He has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commands our fathers to teach their children, that the next generation might know that the children yet unborn and arise tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And why am I sharing this with you this morning? Because throughout this year, we have seen the Lord spoken lots of words over us. The first word that we got was the fruit, and that was so profound. Thank you, Almut, for that. Where I shared on John 15, and the Lord really taking us through as we abide in Him. And then for word for this year was the new wine, and the Lord giving us this new wineskin in May this year. But everything was birthed in a time of prayer and during a time of struggles where we really had to trust in the Lord and not lean on our own understanding. Where we really had to focus on what the Lord is doing and not focusing on what we're seeing and what our bank balance is showing to us, for argument's sake. That we must invite our children into our inner rooms where they see us on our faces asking the Lord, Lord, for help in the time of distress and seeing how the Lord comes through for us. Because if we don't invite our children into that space, they are not going to see that God is a God who meets us during our difficult times as well. They're only going to think that our God is a God who only brings good things to us. And we're really not going to see the fact that the generation that we're raising up, it will be a generation that will take it so much further. And that brings me to a few photos that I want to show. So if you fly the next slide. So that's my grandfather. I've been speaking a lot about him this past while. I remember sitting with him, and he always reminding me, Maisian, my son, prayer can do what God can do. And when I went through my difficult times in my life, I know if I pray that God will come through for me. I knew if I pray to God, God will deliver me from this. And when I went through the difficult times where I was in rehab and really seeking after the Lord, I hold on to my teachings that He has taught me. I hold on to the conversations that we had. And I'm still holding on to that today. And that is the pioneering man in our family. And through his pioneering and his rejection and all the stuff that he had to face in his life, we as children don't have to face it today. Because he has paved the way for us. He has made a way for us to walk in. Pioneering takes building. Pioneering takes breaking. And pioneering takes standing. And he took a stand. But what mostly I take away from him is the time that we shared together. My brother and him always used to drive all everywhere. My brother, he was his driver. And yeah, there's my brother sitting, Francois. And constantly during that time as well, he used to share his stories with us and how he became alive, how he went through life. We know there was a time when he lost everything and he had to rebuild everything from the ground up. But if my mom only saw the good things, she would never appreciate the fact that they lost everything and her father built everything with his hands. And it cost him to do something and to trust in the Lord that he is able to rebuild through what the Lord is saying. The same that the psalmist is advising the people of Israel of. And he's saying to them, hey guys, let us not forget. Let us not forget where we came from. Let us not forget who brought us. Let us not forget who all our hope and trust is in. Let us not forget the days that when we had nothing, he was there for us and he was enough for us. Let us not forget the times when we had no food. He provided manna for us. Let us not forget that when we felt alone, he was with us. He was a cloud of fire at night and a shade cloud by day. The second person that I would also like to just mention, it's my dad. still today, we still have so many conversations. And that's me. My dad was ordained as a dominie. I think I was, that's 50 years, 30 years ago. I was 7 there. No, 30. The church turned 80. So my grandfather planted this church. It's still standing today in Ravensmead. My mom and my brother is currently serving there, but he's alongside his beautiful wife, Crystal. And they're really pioneering and doing what the family has been called to do in Ravensmead. But my times with my dad, I remember sitting with him, listening to him. My dad was someone who knows the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And you can ask Ferdi and Sam, if you spend time with him, you're going to hear the gospel. It's just going to come out of him. You can ask his grandkids now. All he speaks about is the word of God. All he meditates on is the word of God. But through the times that I've spent with my dad, I've realized that, and he always reminds me, Messian, wat praat die Here met jou oor in die kerk? So he was saying to me, my son, what is God speaking to you about and to the church? And he says to me, have you looked at the vineyard, the vine? And I'm like, ek het lanklaas bietjie in die vingers gekyk. But he says, you preachers of today, you must always keep your ears close to the mouth of God so that you can hear what the Lord is saying to you and your church. He's saying today, because some of these church pastors, he always makes this joke, and he says, he's feeding their people 2-minute noodles. They're not giving the word anymore. They're wanting to be motivational speakers. They're wanting everyone to sound beautiful. He say, if you give your people the word, they won't turn away from it. And that's for me during my difficult time when I went to rehab. The first thing that I took the word of God with me. And the first time I went into my room, I closed my door behind me. I was signed in. I opened the word of God because I knew everything that I need is in this word. And I opened up my Bible and I came to the verse that says, for I have known you in your mother's womb. I have called you and you are mine. That struck something in my heart immediately that changed my trajectory when I came out of rehab. Like David and the men who went into the cave, when they went in, they were depressed. When they came out, they were on fire for Jesus. And no one could stop them. So why am I telling you all of these stories? Are we inviting our kids into our inner room when we are struggling with situations that we don't have control over? Do our kids see us praying and trusting the Lord for breakthrough in certain areas? Are we inviting our kids in to say, hey, this is how you should treat a woman. This is not what the world is saying this to you, but this is how you should do it. Fathers, are we taking our daughters and are we affirming them and speaking the identity over them that God has called us to be, to do? Do we take our daughters on father-daughter dates these days? Because if we're not going to do it, the men out there will do it, and they will tell your daughter a way that they think that should love be portrayed. But if they had that experience from their dads, and it was spoken over them by their dads, they would not turn away from it. I'm thankful for my father-in-law, because my wife, she knows her worth, she knows who she is. Her father has spoken that stuff over her, and I can see it in her life, and I see it in my marriage. And I'm hoping and I'm trusting the Lord that I'll be that father to my daughter, that I will speak over her and affirm her in the way that she needs to be affirmed, that I will tell her the stories that my dad shared with me about the word of God. And that I will unpack the word of God for her that she when she doesn't understand it. That the times I spend with Bradwood, that it will be impactable, that it will be so impactable that it will change his trajectory, that he will follow Christ even when I'm not there anymore. That he will hold on to Jesus, his Savior, when I have passed on to be with Christ. That he will look back on life and says, I can hold on to Jesus because I have seen my dad do that. That Malachi can be able to stand up before people and preach the gospel unashamedly because I've seen my dad do that. But the first thing that they will know that when difficult times hit, that we don't run away. We are not cowards to run away. That we go to God as last week as Theo preached in Psalm 51 when David went to the Lord and he sought the Lord. And he laid and he trusted the Lord and he repented. That when they marry, they will know that this is the way I should treat my wife. I'm going to wrap up now, but two days ago, my weeks is God, but I was just so reminded about, we had such an amazing time where the Amplified guys, Sam and his team, organized this event, and they invited churches from different backgrounds to come and worship Jesus together. And it was all children, 16, 17 years old. They might have been younger. But they were worshiping Jesus not because their fathers were worshiping Jesus. They were worshiping Jesus because Jesus is who he says he is. And I'm going to show you guys a video now of what we've experienced. And that is why we need to tell the generation, the coming generation, about all the stuff. That their hope can be in Christ. That during the time, the difficult times in their life, they would hold on to Jesus. Even if we are not there to watch them. Even if we're not there to guide them anymore. That they should choose Jesus above everything. Thank you, Don. There's life in them. There were times during worship where you looked around and you just see these young people pressing in and pressing into Jesus. Like, there were times when I just looked around the room and I just saw everyone on their knees in front of the most amazing God. And that is the privilege that we have today. We have the privilege to share that with our families. We have the privilege to share that with our kids. We have the privilege to share that with your unborn kids. While the kid is in their mother's womb, speak life. Speak the calling of God over their life. Prophesy over them. And Helmut and Estelle's life has always been such a testimony for me. Because when I look at their kids, and I have the privilege of seeing their kids now without them. The one youth leadership development camp where we were. And it's usually when you see what is happening in someone's house when the parents are not there. And you could see just how behaved and well respected They portrayed themselves. And today, when I looked back, I just saw on the knees and I was like, wow, God, that is amazing. So well done to you guys as well. Well done to Helmut and Estelle for always speaking. Helmut's been close to me as well. During difficult times, he's spoken into my life. So, yeah, thank you. Well done for that, guys. So as I'm going to wrap up this sermon, Sam, maybe you can just lead us into a song. We're going to unpack this a little bit more in the next year show for Boston, because I believe God's calling us only the mothers and the fathers to ministry, but he's calling our children. And he's calling every one of our children to minister, to live a life of fullness of Christ. No matter how young, no matter how old. And that is what I'm really trusting the Lord for, that next year Shofar Boston would really walk in that family ministry. Amen. Let's stand together. Today we're celebrating the 2024. For most of us, it's been an amazing year. Lots of testimonies. Tanil and Marius have so many testimonies. Charlene, so many testimonies. Nandi Chesland, everyone in this church, we have so many testimonies. Greg Marial, Greg trusted for work. This year the Lord really came true, and he's enjoying it. Marial as well. And it's been such an amazing journey for us as the Shofar Boston movement. Cornelia and the Tweed got married. So many testimonies. And they both started also new jobs. I've really trusted for a new job as well. The Lord came through. Sam trusted for a new job. The Lord came through. Ilana trusted for a new job. The Lord came through. There's so many testimonies that's happening in this church. And babies. And this is what God is doing in our midst. And next year he's planning and going to do so much more. Lausanne is opening a new practice in Paul. Exciting stuff happening. God's just adding to us so much. Paul and Jill came. They also had a baby in church. So God's just so at work in this church. And we can only just respond in thanksgiving today. So as we're going to this time of worship, let's respond in thanksgiving, but let's continue telling the next coming generation about the faithfulness of God. But let's not only tell them about the good times, let's include the bad times. Thank you.
Holy, you are lifted high. Holy,
You will always be holy, God. Into eternity, God, we will cry out, holy, 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 God. Help us to be holy as you are holy, God. Help us to continually testify and sharing to the next generation, God, about your faithfulness, God. May we continually sharing about your goodness. May we continue putting you on the throne and you alone, God. May we show all our children Jesus, the finisher and the author of our faith, God. The Lord bless you and the Lord keeps you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and the Lord will be gracious to you. Therefore, go in peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, God.